This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Resource Centre and I'm Maya Tan. Now, I don't know about you, but I've often dreamed about retiring at a young age. And according to Nielsen's latest global survey on ageing, I'm not the only one. Malaysians hold the highest percentage of people within Southeast Asia who have retired or have chosen to retire before the age of 59. So I thought I'd give Nielsen a call to find out more about it. And here I am right now with Luca Griseri, Director of Financial Services for Singapore and Malaysia. Buongiorno.
Buongiorno. Good morning.
Now, Luca, why do you think Malaysians hold the highest percentage within Southeast Asia?
I think it's really down to what Malaysians want to achieve when they retire. And our study tells us that they want to spend more time with their families, continue to be active in the community, continue to do the things that they didn't really have time to do when they were working. So from that point of view, I think it's quite understandable that they would like to retire before they are too old to do those things. And by the way, we also see similar trends in other countries in the world. Really, it's about trying to go back to their passion that they didn't have time for when they were working, their hobbies, their leisure, and spending time with families and traveling. So all this is particularly important in mid and high income countries.
And which country would have the highest group of people who want to actually retire later?
From that point of view, our study shows that Malaysians certainly have one of the highest scores. But if I go back to other countries, even beyond Southeast Asia, countries in Europe, for example, there we see that consumers are a bit less likely to tell us they want to retire early. I think it could be also a realization. Sometimes consumers in some countries realize that they probably need to fund retirement early, and they probably realize that this is not a realistic opportunity for them.
So back to Malaysia, how have the retired managed to create their retirement funds?
Certainly we see that some consumers have been very successful in retirement planning. And those are the ones who started saving early in their lives, so when they were still younger, and also those who have been able to diversify their investments. So those who don't just expect to fund their retirement through state funding or through their families, but those who have taken a more active approach to savings and investment. And I would also add that those who have been able to save enough for their retirements are those who have been psychologically engaging with the idea of retirement. So you see, in Nielsen, we do a lot of studies in relation to retirement. And we often find that there are some common barriers, and those are mostly psychological. Consumers tell us they don't really understand the solutions and products available to them. They don't really know where to go to find information. And as important, very often they are daunted by the idea of retirement. They find it really scary, to be honest. So those consumers who actually overcome those psychological barriers are those that manage to build a strong retirement nest and ultimately enjoy their golden age.
Just out of curiosity, those who have planned, saved and invested in their retirement funds, do they plan to be just comfortable, just able to pay their bills, or do they plan to, you know, really live the life when they're retired, like a good life?
That's a very interesting question. I think there are different layers to it. And again, from the many studies that we do, we always see that retirement, at least ideally, should be more than just getting by. So consumers tell us, I really think that by the time I retire, I've earned the right to travel or to spend time with my family and do the nice things in life that perhaps I couldn't afford or I didn't have time for when I was younger. So I think you're right. There is certainly an aspirational element, so to speak, of trying to do more than just the basic getting by and paying the bills and having enough to eat.
You were saying that one of the barriers is that people don't know where to turn to for investment or saving advice. And so do you think that banks or the governments should actually educate people a lot more?
I think there is a good opportunity for doing that, precisely. Consumers tell us that they find it difficult to understand the different investment options or simply the different retirement schemes available. And let's be honest, let's face it, it's probably not the easiest topic to understand. So I think there is an opportunity to perhaps educate some of the consumers and perhaps doing it when they are younger, not wait until they are too old, and perhaps provide information that is jargon-free and provide information that really resonates with these consumers.
I see. So that covers the initiative the individual takes in order to plan and set aside funds for their retirement. But looking at the source of retirement income charts in your survey, it says that about 70% of funds are derived from personal savings and investments, and only 8%, and this is Malaysia we're talking about, from company retirement plans. And this is very, very low, the 8%, compared to Vietnam's 31%. Do you feel that the private sector should be doing more, should be contributing more to retirement plans for employees?
Well, that's an interesting point, but actually I think those figures tell us that consumers realize that retirement needs to come from different sources. They cannot rely on just the government or just their employer anymore. So I think consumers tell us that actually they want to take charge, they want to be in control of their financial planning, and they try to save themselves as well as relying on other sources. And I think, again, this is very common, not just in Malaysia or in Southeast Asia, but I think in Europe and the US as well. So it's realizing that no matter what, because we live longer, because we want to do more things when it comes to retirement, we as consumers need to provide for our retirement funds. And I think that's why a large proportion of Malaysians as well tell us that they want to use their personal savings investments for retirement.
So with Vietnam, would it be a very sort of conservative plan that they provide as a standard practice for their employees?
I think perhaps we ought to look at the macroeconomic situation in each country, and of course different countries have got different solutions available to consumers. One of the things that I think is very strong in Malaysia compared to perhaps other countries in the region is the range of solutions available to consumers. For example, now in Malaysia we have private retirement schemes which are voluntary, and even if it is early stage for those, this just points to the fact that consumers have got more options than maybe in other countries, more options to save themselves. And I think this is what, again, this data shows to us. It's very important to provide consumers with the right choices and the right options. And I think in Malaysia, this is happening.
And I suppose benefits could also come in different forms. They could come in perhaps shares in the company or other monetary benefits, bonuses, and so on.
I think you're right. You see, I think perhaps one of the challenges that societies have nowadays is to perhaps think a bit outside the box. It's not just about the traditional ways to fund retirement, but it's really to find different ways to ultimately recognize employees and provide them with the right rewards in a way that perhaps is not the standard, the mainstream one. So I think some of the points that you make are absolutely valid. And I think perhaps another way to look at it is there are different solutions after retirement. Maybe we can think about semi-retirement, where people don't drop out of the workforce completely, but maybe they still spend some time contributing to society and to their company. So you see, I think as societies we have many options available, and certainly this will make it easier for consumers to really fund their longer life in retirement.
So with all these new options, what have you discovered about the plans of those who have yet to retire and the methods that those who have already retired, you know, what methods did they use to create their investment funds? Is there a lot of difference in the methods?
I can perhaps share what are the good strategies, so to speak. And normally, the good strategies for funding retirement are those that start early, that use different solutions, whether it's investment schemes, whether it's contribution from the employer, whether it's from the government. And perhaps, again, those who have been more successful are those who, as I was saying earlier, take it on themselves to really fund their retirement. So they don't expect to rely on the government. They don't expect to rely on their families, but they really want to try and provide that for themselves. And I think those are the differences between those who have been successful in creating their retirement nest and those who haven't yet.
So would you say that those who have retired are fairly affluent people?
Well, actually, I think there are so many differences. There are differences in the amount of money that people have, for example, in Malaysia, in the EPF account. And I know that the government is, of course, trying to increase the amount of money available. But you see, there are many, many differences across the board. And so we have relatively affluent retirees, as you say, probably a fairly large group of what would call mid-income retirees, and I think that's probably growing. But also, we still have people who have relatively little money, and for many reasons, you know, maybe when they were working, they didn't have enough. Well, their salaries was relatively low, or maybe they didn't start planning early enough, or whatever reason. So I think you can't really generalize. You have to acknowledge that there are many different groups of retirees in relation to their income and therefore in relation to how much they can enjoy their golden age.
I'm on the phone with Luca Griseri, Director of Financial Services for Singapore and Malaysia at Nielsen. We've been talking about retiring before the age of 59, and we're going to flip the conversation and find out how aging consumers create opportunities for businesses. This is Resource Centre on BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
This is Resource Centre and I'm Maya Tan. I'm on the phone with Luca Griseri, Director of Financial Services for Singapore and Malaysia at Nielsen. Now, we talked about how more and more Malaysians are retiring or planning to before the age of 59. And this also creates opportunities for businesses to consider, namely the affluent aging consumer. So, Luca, the Global Survey on Aging mentions that overall, the social and economical changes of our aging population present a lot of opportunities for service providers and manufacturers. What are some of these opportunities?
Essentially, there are many opportunities in relation to the fact that we will have an increased number of retirees who have time and money to spend, and they will be more and more in relatively good health, so they can actually be active in society and active in doing life. In addition, I think what we notice in Nielsen throughout all the studies that we do in relation to retirement is that there is a cultural shift, meaning that there is a realization that retirees can still enjoy life. They can really be active and really do leisure activities and really have a good quality of life. So if you think of all these four trends converging, that really means that there are so many opportunities for companies across different industries to really understand the needs of retirees and ultimately provide them with the solutions that they need.
So which industries do you see having the biggest impact on improving the quality of life of aging consumers?
I think really many, many industries. If I think of financial service providers in terms of the products and solutions that are available for retirees, but that's only one industry. Let's think about service providers, for example. How about restaurants who provide perhaps the right access for retirees and make it easier for retirees to go to their restaurants? But how about even supermarkets? How about supermarkets who maybe they can try to make it easier for somebody who is a retiree to shop and make it easier in terms of the lighting in the supermarkets, make it easier to find the products they choose, maybe assist them with moving their shopping from the checkout to the car. So you can see that you can think of many, many companies who can really adapt their services and their products and really try to do it in a way that makes it easier for elderly to shop and buy their products.
So this actually came up in your survey, am I right? There were sort of areas which respondents from your survey actually highlighted, sort of needs that are not being met.
Absolutely. So some of the points I made earlier are precisely those coming from our survey, whether it's assistance with carrying the shopping to the car, to maybe even transportation assistance, maybe making it even easier for restaurant for consumers to access restaurants. So all these are areas that elderly consumers tell us, at the moment, companies don't really make it easy enough for me. And in addition to that, I think it's also interesting to make a general point about advertising. Again, what the respondents we spoke to in Malaysia but across the world told us is that at the moment, the adverts that they see on TV or in the newspaper or even online for that matter don't really reflect the reality of older consumers. And if you think of it, that's very important, because in a sense what we are saying is that maybe some companies are not engaging with elderly consumers. They are missing out on an opportunity to really engage with them, showing them that they understand their needs and ultimately convince them to spend their money with them.
Yeah, that's true. What you say is really interesting because, you know, my grandmother at 40, she looks nothing like my mother did when she was 40. And, you know, I think this will continue with each generation. You know how they say 50 is the new 40, right? Do you see any new categories of products that will be created?
Yes, I think there would be a lot of interest in the area around nutrition, for example, whether it's providing them with the right supplements, the right right food, and the right products to help them have a healthy lifestyle. So I think that is a big area of opportunity. I also think in general, the whole area around leisure would be more and more important. I'm thinking about some companies who can, maybe travel agencies, for example, who can specialize for elderly consumers and organize tours for them. I'm also thinking of hotels. Maybe they need to redesign some of their hotel rooms to ensure that it's easier for somebody of a certain age to access their hotels. So you can see that the whole area around leisure, to me, it would be even more important in the future. And really, it goes back to the fact that retirees more and more want to enjoy their retirement and want to spend their money on doing nice things for themselves.
What are your thoughts on the increased retirement age that's being imposed around the world? Even in Malaysia, the retirement has been raised to 60, I think, from 55.
True. I think it's, to some extent, it's an unavoidable trend. And you're rightly saying that it's not just a Malaysian problem or issue, is actually something that we find across the world. And I think there are many social, demographics, economic factors that contribute to that. But without really getting into, so to speak, the politics of it, I think it's important to make a general point. And I see it as a positive element in the sense that nowadays somebody in their 60s has still a lot to contribute, a lot to contribute to their employer, a lot to contribute to society in general. They have a lot of skills, they've got a lot of knowledge. So in a sense, it would be a bit of a shame if they couldn't contribute, they couldn't give back some of those skills and knowledge to society and to their employers, for example. So overall, I think there is some good for society when we think about how elderly consumers can still play a very active role with their employers and with society in general.
And do you find that many retirees actually begin businesses? Are there new entrepreneurs created from this category?
I think you're right. This is still something that is probably early days, but I think it is still happening. It is already happening maybe in countries like Europe or US, and certainly it's something that I think will be more and more common in the future. And again, it goes back to the fact that we have a number of consumers or citizens with a lot of knowledge about business, with a lot of skills, and perhaps also with enough capital to perhaps start a new company.
So what else is on the horizon for the aging consumer?
Well, I think overall I'm relatively optimistic about the outlook for aging consumers. I think that many service providers or manufacturers are realizing that the silver dollar is so important, and therefore they are starting to tailor their service and products for this group of consumers. So I think that is very positive. Essentially, it will give more choice to elderly consumers. I also think, as I was saying earlier, that society attitudes to elderly consumers are also changing, and I think there is a recognition that there is much more freedom and much more opportunity to simply enjoy life and express oneself once one gets older. And again, I see it as a very positive development, especially in some countries. So overall, I think there is a positive outlook. Of course, in order to make sure that it stays positive, we need to continue to educate consumers from an early age. We need to make sure that we give them many solutions, many options to fund retirement. And we need to make sure that they don't look at retirement, and this is especially for younger consumers, they don't look at retirement as something scary or daunting, but they really understand the importance of start to plan early so that they can enjoy retirement when it comes to their retirement age.
Thank you, Luca.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to Luca Grisseri, Director of Financial Services for Singapore and Malaysia at Nielsen. This is Resource Centre and I'm Maya Tan on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.